opera singer Maria Callas died 27 years ago. Since then, there have been hundreds of bios, coffee table books, CDs, DVDs, and even plays, keeping her art and mystique with us. Now there's a movie called Callas Forever. NPR's Tom Huizinga reports on why Maria Callas continues to fascinate.
Controversy can help make you famous. And as far as opera singers go, Callas had controversy in spades. When she was alive and singing, Callas was the opera diva many people loved to hate. Terence McNally has written two plays about Callas, Masterclass and The Lisbon Traviata. As a Callas fanatic, he remembers queuing up for tickets to her Metropolitan Opera debut in New York in 1956.
People were standing in that line for 3 days along with me in order to boo her. There was that much anti-Callas feeling when she made her debut at the Met. She'd never sung there, but people hated her already.
McNally says part of the anti-Callas feeling back then was due to what her detractors called an acid-like tone in her high notes, and to what McNally calls an acid-like tone that burned through her hostile comments.
I honestly think Callas made a lot of enemies for herself when she gave her notorious interview to Time magazine, in which she said if her mother had financial problems, there were no concern of her, she could jump off a cliff, and that how could you compare her to Renata Tebaldi? That's like comparing champagne to Coca-Cola.
Callas's fiery rhetoric and her habit of canceling performances became legendary. She got herself fired from the Met and fired from her love affair with Aristotle Onassis, who dumped her for Jackie Kennedy. These days, she's revered as a singer who can, in memoriam, do no wrong. Her fans will tell you to forget the old gossip and just listen. Callas's voice held out for only about a dozen good years, yet she's routinely called the century's best opera singer. Now compare Plácido Domingo. He's in his 45th year of singing and still going strong. So, what sets Callas's meager 12 years apart? James Jordan, editor of the online opera magazine Partier Box, says Callas's mix of emotion and musicianship was a force of nature.
It's like seeing the Grand Canyon or seeing a great piece of art for the first time. You hear it, and it just sounds like the way the music is supposed to go. It has this sort of ideal form to it. I guess that's the thing about Callas, is that the way she performs music, she makes it sound inevitable.
Stage and film director Franco Zeffirelli witnessed Callas up close. He directed her in productions in Paris and London in the 1950s and 60s.
I can't describe what she transmitted to the audience. Every cell of her body was there, palpitating, burning beyond what is expected from a normal singer. Because she was so frustrated in her private emotions that she put all her emotions on stage. She made them explode on stage. That was the difference between her and the others.
Zeffirelli has directed a new film about Callas, which opens tomorrow. He calls it Callas Forever. You won't find Callas at her peak in the movie, though. Instead, Zeffirelli focuses on the final months of her life. In this fictional story, Callas, played by Fanny Ardant, wallows in pills and self-pity in her Paris apartment, until her former impresario, played by Jeremy Irons, offers her a chance to resuscitate her career.
Oh, please, don't speak to me about a second chance. Did Icarus have a second chance?
No, but...
No. He flew too close to the sun and pow, into the water.
But what if Icarus, if he'd had artificial wings?
What do you mean?
Well, the world is changing, Maria. We have to change with it. There are new technologies we can use.
Callas Forever. What a title.
What I plan to do is to film you singing your most famous roles and match it to the soundtrack you made on your old recordings when your voice was in its prime. Now, technically, that's perfectly possible.
French actress Fanny Ardant says one theme in Zeffirelli's new movie is the temptation artists have to see themselves and their art live forever.
The part of Jeremy Irons is like Mephistopheles in Faust, to say, I will give you the eternal youth. And for a moment, she's tempted.
Franco Zeffirelli says that although his Faustian bargain is fictional, he wanted to remind people that Callas the woman paid bitterly for the heights she reached as Callas the artist. And it's her art, he says, that will last.
Without my help, I mean, Callas will live forever. Does the David of Michelangelo live on forever? I mean, it's the absolute peaks of man's culture and artistry. I mean, she is the equivalent of Michelangelo in the singing.
Callas's voice began failing her at around age 40, and she died at age 53. She lived a jet-set lifestyle, accessorized by jewels, clothes, and a fancy lover. Playwright Terrence McNally says Callas has become an icon.
You say, who's Maria Callas? And I think anybody would say, an opera singer. Have you ever heard a record of hers? No, but Callas has become synonymous with the soprano and the prima donna.
But Callas the icon doesn't interest McNally.
What's important about her is her voice, not the fact she was attractive on stage and was a wonderful actress. It's all on the record.
And those CDs keep showing up. 8 re-releases already this year, with more scheduled for 2005. Will Maria Callas live on? Maybe not forever, but it looks like certainly for a very long time. Tom Huizenga, NPR News.